Hey everyone, if you would like to skip ahead to the interview, please go to the 7th minute and 58 second mark. You are listening to Season 2, Episode 14 of Talk and Rock with GMH.
Let's talk and rock. It's Talk and Rock with GMH.
Welcome, everyone, to the podcast where we talk rock and other things music-related. I'm your host, GMH, and it is so great to be back. I don't really know why I haven't put up an episode in so long, but regardless, we are back, and I wanted to get the podcast started again, and I decided to take an unexpected break for the summer, which wasn't planned on my part all that well, but we are coming back strong, and I knew when we were going to return, I wanted to have an amazing interview, and today's interview is with none other than Mr. Joey Serlin of The Watchmen, and we also spoke about his project with Danny Graves, who also sings in The Watchmen, their project, Serlin Graves, so that's really cool. We're going to touch on that in the interview, and yeah, so a lot of you might know by listening to the podcast that I'm really into this revival of rock, pop punk, punk rock, all that sort of stuff, and I listen to tons of Machine Gun Kelly. My favorite singer of all time at the moment is probably Mod Sun. I listen to also Tyler Posey, Girlfriends, a little bit of Jaden, Swaco, Youngblood, all those sort of artists, and I don't know, it's been sort of cool to follow, and now all these acts are going on tour, or lots of them are, which is really cool. Mod Sun's on a tour with Tyler Posey and Girlfriends, which I'm so jealous that I'm not able to see because they're not coming to Canada just with the whole COVID situation and just the idea behind the tour, but every time I can find a video live of Mod Sun from that tour, it's so awesome to see because he's got an amazing voice and he can totally hit all those notes and sing all those songs that you hear him singing on his new album, Internet Killed the Rockstar. And I'm just super impressed with that. And also Machine Gun Kelly is out on tour. And I think Jaden and Kenny Hoopla were joining him for at least a couple shows. I think Jaden was sort of going on his own tour there as well, if I'm not mistaken. And it's just really cool to see how these acts perform now, like these modern rock, pop rock sort of bands or artists perform nowadays. And I think it's really cool how they're singing along to a track, but they're singing over it. Like, they're not lip-syncing in any way. And I just think that's pretty cool, and it makes for a professional and awesome-sounding show. Now, in other music news, Guns N' Roses released a new single. So, I'm not exactly sure the story behind this song, but from my understanding, it's a brand new song. And I listened to it, and it's better than I was expecting. Not that I would ever expect it to be bad, but, you know, they haven't released music in such a long time, especially with the lineup that they're sort of going with. And, of course, they're still missing a few members, but it really is the core foundation of Guns N' Roses with, I guess, without Izzy Stradlin. But it's still, I don't know, it's pretty cool that they released a song. It's called Hard School, and I like it. And yeah, I highly recommend you give it a listen. I'm curious to know what other people think. Now, Nathan James, who was on the podcast back in either June or July, recently released a new song called Outcast Radio, which is a super cool song. Highly recommend you go check it out. As well as Exomerida, who was on the show back in February, they released a new song called Sunshine, and that's another really, really cool song. So be sure to check that out as well. So here in Winnipeg, there is sort of an outdoor venue called the Blue Note Park. It's the temporary home of the Times Change at High and Lonesome Club on Main Street. And it's a super cool outdoor venue. And it's such a amazing space. And they put on amazing shows. And I've been able to see Micah Ehrenberg there, who was on the podcast. And I got to see the Small Glories, which was an amazing show, who were on the podcast. And recently I got to see Greg Rikus, and that was a super fun show. He's an awesome guy. And he was back on the show not too long ago. And yeah, it's just an amazing space and venue. And it's so cool that they've been able to operate throughout the summer and have live music. All right. So this week's Song of the Week is Victory Lap by Propagandhi. Now, Propagandhi, they're a huge Winnipeg band. Well, they're originally from Winnipeg. And this song is probably one of my favorite songs by them, production-wise and melody-wise, and the way the song sort of just driven with the drums. I just think it's a really awesome-sounding song. And one of my favorite songs, and one of my favorite Propagandhi songs. So I highly recommend you check this one out. Propagandhi's playing 3 shows in a row here in Winnipeg in October. 2 of them have Mobina Galore opening for them. And the 3rd one has a band, I believe, called Weapons opening for them, which is cool. And they also, they're touring with a opening act, and they're called Choke, but they're playing every show with them. And I'm really hoping to get out to one of these shows. I'm hoping to get out to the 3rd one. I'm pretty hopeful that I can, but I think it'll just be super cool to be able to be in the new renovated Park Theater. And I'm super excited to see all those renovations of the very nice, that very nice venue. I won't keep you all waiting any longer. Here is this week's interview with Joey Serlin coming up next. Hey everyone, so today our special guest on the podcast is Joey Serlin from The Watchmen and Serlin Graves. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm good. So I think this is really cool because officially with this episode, I've had every member from The Watchmen on the show. Ken was one of my first interviews on the podcast. And then I had Sammy on later in the summer. Danny came on in March, and now you're on. So I'm glad to have all these separate conversations about The Watchmen, and also with you and Danny being able to talk about Serlin Graves and all that sort of stuff. Now, with The Watchmen, starting off at the beginning, were you like the founding member of the group?
I guess in some ways I was. I was in a local Winnipeg band called Jero and the Ghost.
Yeah.
And Pete Lavin, the original Watchmen bassist, and Grant Page was the original drummer. And then I eventually asked Danny to join the band. And then that was when we renamed the band The Watchmen. And then eventually we brought Sammy in on drums. And then, so I guess in a lot of ways I did put it together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how did you sort of go from like playing shows as The Watchmen to then recording your first record?
So Ralph James was our agent. He started to, you know, get us more shows. I did all the booking for the band originally. And it was a funny story. We had a show booked at, it was called Broadway's or B-Way's. It was a club in the basement of the Fort Garry Hotel.
Okay.
And we showed up there one day to have a show, and we'd been bumped because he put this band, Plasticine Replicas, needed a stop through gig. I guess they were driving through to they were a Vancouver band making their way to Toronto. Long story short, we got bumped, and the owner of, or the promoter at the show said, it's not my issue. Go talk to Ralph James. I actually found out where he worked.
Yeah.
And where his office was, they went down and waited in his office because I was pissed off. And it was just like a, I don't think it was legal to play the clubs at the time. And he said, do you have a demo? We'd recorded a demo and I gave it to him. Right. And he loved the band. And next thing you know, he became our agent. But to get back to your original question, Ralph hooked us up with our manager, Jake Gold, who then arranged our first real record demo with the Red Rider guitarist Kenny Greer from Tom Cochran's band, and that was like our real first recording process.
Okay.
Prior to that, we had done local demos, just booking studios in Winnipeg at an hourly rate, kind of self-produced. But that working with Kenny was our first legit recording session in a high-end studio with a really knowledgeable producer.
Yeah. And with McLaren, those songs, you writing, I'm not sure if it was all of them or most of them, but at the time, were you mainly into writing in The Watchmen? Were you the main one into that?
Yeah, I wrote pretty much the whole first record. Danny wrote the lyrics on one song called Sleep. Mm-hmm. I was just really prolific in writing at the time, and I think a lot of it, the reason I could write so much is because I had no idea what I was doing. So I didn't feel any restrictive parameters on how to write a song. I just kind of wrote.
Right.
And then Chris Wardman produced that first album, mm-hmm. and helped us tighten up some of the arrangements and the construction and helped us kind of achieve our sonic vision of the album. But I definitely, at that time, I was the primary songwriter. I would write the songs and then bring them into the guys and play them for them. And they would obviously write their own parts, and I didn't tell them what to play on drums, etc. We collaborated, but you know, it was pretty free reign in what they wanted to do.
Right. And was it cool for you to sort of have like you writing the songs and then taking it to the band and them sort of putting their own little spin on it and having Danny singing your lyrics? Like, was that neat for you at the time?
Yeah, I mean, I felt pretty lucky, especially with Danny and his voice, to bring those songs to life. I don't know. It was just kind of how we did it. It felt great in the moment, and it felt great to have those songs come to life. But I didn't really have anything else to compare it to at the moment. That was just it. And these were also guys that I had known before, with the exception of Pete, who became a close friend really quickly. Sammy and Danny had been in my life forever, so it just felt very natural. It felt like a very comfortable, organic process.
Yeah. Yeah, and when Ken came on the show, we sort of talked about the band's history from once he joined the group. For you, was it a difficult transition to have Ken join the group, or did it feel really natural and you were able to pick up from where you left off?
He definitely changed how we did things because he's an interesting bassist in that he uses a lot of chords. Mm-hmm. He's a melodic bassist, whereas Pete was like a rock solid but stay at home, to use a hockey analogy, stay at home bassist.
Right.
So Ken brought in some riffs and ideas, which in a way allowed Danny to say, oh, I'll write some lyrics for that one. You know, All Uncovered is a great example of a great song starting from the bass up. So,
right.
Yeah. It also took some pressure off of me to be, I no longer had to be the only guy that would bring in music, you know?
Right.
And it was well-timed because with some of the success of the first album in the Trees, there's some pressure to get in the studio and follow up. And so Ken joining was actually quite fortuitous. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, as the guitarist of the band, was it ever difficult for you to be the only guitarist in the Watchmen, or did you sort of like having that control?
I think it helped me find a bit of my own style of playing, mm-hmm. even in within. So a lot of the parts I wrote, if they were called lead solos, if you want to call them that, but there was always like a chordal structure to how I would play leads, because not always, but often, because I wouldn't want the bottom to fall out in terms of how full the band sounded. So I would approach it like that. And I think it helped me find my own style. The Serling Grave show we just did was like the first time I had other than being called up on stage with other artists, it was the first time I did an actual show with another guitar player for the whole show. It was a very different experience.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I thought to ask that question, because when I was watching the live stream, I noticed that you had another guitarist with you, and I just was wondering if there was any like thought there with the Watchmen that you were maybe considering like having another guitarist, or if you sort of liked being on your own and having that control.
I like the control as well. And then obviously the studio is a different animal.
Yeah.
There was a few songs where I would get kind of caught up and just recording parts that I heard in my head, and I wanted to get them recorded and counter melodies. And then I'd have to figure out how am I going to do this live, you know? And obviously from a tone perspective, it forced me to look into reverbs and delays that would help fill out the sound of just one guitar, which I think was a lot of fun as well.
Yeah, for sure. Now, jumping ahead here, with Silent Radar compared to In the Trees and then McLaren Furnace Room, did you sort of like, I guess, the change in sort of the studio atmosphere and being in like an even more professional studio and recording that album?
So the two prior albums have been with Mr. Coulson. Doug Olson produced it, mm-hmm. and he had a very perfectionist, like technically detailed way of recording.
Okay.
Particularly in guitars. Like I remember recording, sitting at the console with him. Mm-hmm. And recording the same part for hours and tuning for chord changes. I still maybe didn't have the confidence of my own voice. And,
right.
And so it would, in a lot of ways, I mean, the albums ended up sounding great, but I wanted it to be just more performance based as opposed to just being perfectly in tune or etc. Don't get me wrong, I love that. Like, I learned a ton from Doug. But then when we worked with Adam Casper in Seattle, it was such a different experience. There were so many of the guitar parts on that album were first, second takes, top to bottom, great performance.
Yeah.
And that was quite liberating. And I think that's why that album to me was like the peak for us in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was really enjoyable and liberating to record that way. Because keep in mind, like, the band was very, very well rehearsed. Like, that's all we did. And we worked hard, we rehearsed hours every night. We knew our parts top to bottom, backwards, forwards. So to find a producer that said, okay, let's take advantage of that was great.
Yeah. Now, I apologize here. I'm going to go back a little bit. I skipped over Brand New Day. I just wanted to ask just a few questions about that album. Personally, that's my favorite Watchmen record. And it's my favorite personally because I feel like musically there's a bunch of different stuff going on there. It's very different than all your other records. And I just feel like you guys were able to get really creative with that one. Mm-hmm. Now, do you feel like band sound was sort of shifting at that time when you were recording that one?
Yeah, to be honest, we in some ways we weren't ready to do that album. We had In the Trees really was a successful record for us.
Yeah,
And the label like really wanted to get us back in there. And I don't think we didn't have a lot of, we didn't have like 20 songs written.
Right.
And then we would have let down to the 12 best like we had in the past. So what that did is it forced us to create in the studio, which probably led to a lot of the different styles and
that
you're referring to. So I think there were some amazing moments on that album. I think there's, for me, there's some songs that I regret because it was forced, kind of, not forced, well, forced, yeah, by a committee. No, let's just do it. Let's just do it. And then I wish I could go back in time and do them again. But what did come out of it was some really great moments, some really great songs. But yeah, it was like, I was kind of like, I don't know. I'm not trying to say we're the Beatles or anything, but it was kind of like our Sgt. Pepper's, where it was just like, let's try this. Let's try a horn. Let's try cellos. Yeah. Let's try this. Let's try that. And some fans, like similar to you, think it's our best album. But I think a lot of people thought, like, where's this kind of like rock grunge influence band that we fell in love with? You know, right. Such a departure.
Yeah. Yeah. That's sort of, yeah, what I meant. Like, it's definitely different than the rest of your records, and you sort of like brought it back in a different way with Silent Radar. But what I mean, like, in the way that I like this, I sort of just like how each song sort of starts, and it might have like a bit of like a rough start or you know, a different like guitar riff opening it, but I just think it turns into a really cool sound. And I just think you all sound great on this record too. I feel like it's very I want to say like inclusive Watchmen record, in the sense that you really get a lot from Danny, and then you can just as equally hear the bass parts, the guitar parts, and the drums. I just think it all sort of comes together really neatly, and I love listening to that one.
No, thank you. Yeah, I would say it's our most experimental record, definitely, yeah. For sure. Yeah.
Now, I asked this one to Danny, but in terms of playing shows as the Watchmen in the 90s compared to playing them like now, what sort of is different for you as a musician transitioning from, I guess, that gap in time and how shows work now?
It's a good question. I mean, the 90s, we were all in our 20s, you know. Right. In 30s, and it was a you know, we played every single night, and you know, I would say that I now we would drink a lot, and it would be like rock, you know, right. Like it would be full rock shows, and
yeah.
You'd get on stage, and it was kind of, we're at the height of our success, the crowds were crazy. Right. But now I think for me, I look forward to the shows even more because they're further apart. And I think I'm playing better my instrument better than I ever have because I'm more focused and I'm more dialed in. And so I would say that in a lot of ways, technically, we're better now. Obviously, we're more mature at our craft and we're better at our instruments.
Right.
And the crowds at our shows now are people that have been with us since the 90s. And so it's still like it's just almost like a family reunion every time we play, inclusive of our fans. So I would say those are the differences.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I've only ever seen the Watchmen nowadays because I'm much younger. But I don't know. I still love the sound that you guys are able to get. And I don't feel like I don't feel like you guys are like slowing down. I feel like your live sounds only getting better. Now, may I ask, there was a Watchmen documentary. I'm not sure when it was from, but I was watching it on, I think I found it on Vimeo or something like that. And it's sort of like, there's definitely parts where it has different like Watchmen interview clips scattered across it. Whether it's for like news or television or anything like that. And guy, I don't know who it was, but he was asking about, or he was talking about how lots of people think that the Watchmen are a great live band. And then you mentioned how you also wish that the Watchmen were a great like band on recording. Do you feel like you sort of wish that earlier, like your recorded sound had been better or had gained more traction than your live show? Or were you sort of glad to be known for your live show?
I think what I was saying is, well, I don't know what interview it was, but I think that I wanted to be equally recognized. Like I was proud of the albums, but yeah. We had such a reputation as being this eventful live band. And I think obviously a lot of that comes from Danny. Like when you have these great rock and roll frontmen who kind of walk the tightrope, you know,
right.
That, you don't know what's going to happen next. It makes for a very, it's just the crowd's kind of on the ride with you, and it makes for a very exciting live show. And we went 110% all in at all of our live shows. Like it was like just sweat and
yeah.
And so, which is great. I love that reputation, but probably more work went into our preparation and our songwriting and our recording. So I just wanted to be equally recognized. I'm guessing, I don't know what you're talking about. That might've been what I was alluding to. So I get, because there's more, I think there's a more longevity in terms of your legacy and your recording than the live show.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely fair. And I asked Sammy when he was on the show, I was asking about favorite songs to play live, and he says that there's like a couple nowadays where there's sort of you sort of don't follow the same structure of the song every time, and you're able to sort of like jam it out on stage and like change it depending on how the crowd is and interact during the song. Do you sort of know what like I mean by this?
Yeah, we have these
kind
of open middles where we can depart and try different things, and I guess that's, once again, you're on the tightrope. That makes it exciting, and not a lot of bands do that anymore. I mean, lots do. Obviously, they've got full jam bands and stuff, but that was a part. That was probably something else that I'm glad you bring it up, because that's something that we would do at our live shows that people loved as well. And next thing you know, you'd be in the middle of a song, like, say, I'm Still Gone or Soul Stealer or something, where you'd be at on this 5 or 6 minute departure, and then you bring it back around.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was wondering if that was like very fun for you as the guitarist, or if that ever like stressed you out on stage, like where are we going next year?
Both. It's absolutely both, but that's what makes it exciting. And believe me, sometimes it doesn't work out, but I think it takes a certain amount of courage to do it. I loved it, you know, I still love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we can definitely come back to the Watchmen a little bit, but I really want to talk about Cerlin Graves and this new project and this new album, which I think is amazing. We had Danny on in March, and Teenage Heart, I believe, was just released as the first single. So I don't feel like we had like a whole lot of Cerlin Graves to talk about, except for like how it came to you guys recording this new record. But now that it's out and that we have you on, we definitely have lots of stuff to cover in that department. Now, I asked Danny this, but in terms of your perspective, how did this new project sort of come about, and how did you sort of end up writing together and creating music together again like that?
So I guess during the lockdown, and I started just can't quite say why, but I wrote a couple songs, and it was like really satisfying to me to write. I haven't written songs, like full length songs. I record and create music every day, but not from the heart, like Watchmen style songs where it's anyway. So I started to write a couple, and it felt really great. And then I wrote a couple more. Next thing you know, I had like 5, and I hadn't had that in ages. And I guess without even thinking, I just felt natural for me to call Danny the way that I used to. I sent them I think I sent him a couple of iPhone recordings, and he really liked it. And I thought, can I get you to sing these? And at the time, I still didn't, I didn't know if it would be a Watchmen thing or a new project, or I just had no idea. I just know I knew I had songs. So we went, he said, why don't we get together at Motel, his bar, and I brought an acoustic guitar, and he has an upright acoustic piano, and I played him some songs, and then I was like, I've got this one where I've got music. Do you want to help me finish it up? You want to take the lyrics on it? And he said, sure. And then he played me some of his songs. And then he said, you know what? I have this other song from like 5 years ago. And
Right.
next thing you know, we had a pile of songs. So then we got together. He came to Vapor Music or my studios. And I introduced him to Ryan, a drummer who ended up engineering and mixing the album, and Dustin, our bassist, who also helped engineer, was a great engineer. And we just started tracking. And and then at that point, I didn't want to lose momentum, and I said, let's just go, keep going. Like, and he was into it. And it was incredible because I had all the gear and all everything that I had collected over the years. Everything was set up in one of the rooms, and just went to town creating this album. And there was a lot of lyrical synergy between where Danny was at and I was at, and our life experience. And it almost—I wouldn't say call it a concept album, but it felt really cohesive. So, quite proud of it.
Yeah, for sure. Now, with Vapor Music, and like your studio, like how does that normally work, just out of curiosity? 'Cause I don't know a whole lot about that.
So it's we have six studios with two locations here in Toronto and one and then one in Vancouver, and we do it's there it's post audio, so we'll do for advertising, television series, video games, we'll do original music or licensing, we do voice casting, voice direction, sound design, final mixes,
Okay.
immersive mixes for VR. So yeah, we have like really a great group of talented people, and it was really nice to have those resources to be able to do our album.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Like, for the studio, was that different to be recording like a full-length album like that? Or was it sort of easy because you already had all the like needed equipment and all that stuff to your access?
It made it quite easy. I mean, a lot of it, I got to be honest, was Ryan. He's such a talented drummer. He's got a great list of credits himself, and just he was so he had such a great sense of balance and EQ and compression and technical things that just really brought the songs to life. So I can't even quantify how many hours he spent working on it. And and then what I loved was that I finally got to produce it and with with him, and obviously Danny's input. But that there was like no compromise. I didn't have to, like, whatever I wanted to do, I got to do, which took me long enough, but finally got to do it,
Yeah, and do you feel like this is some of your like best guitar work on recording?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was just, I was really inspired. I think the tones are great. The parts were just swimming around in my head, and Ryan helped me capture them. I'm couldn't be happier with the guitar part of the album.
Yeah. The thing I love about this album is I think it would be easy for people to find at least one song that they like on this record, 'cause for me I love them all because it goes from like a rock song to like an acoustic like more laid back song, and then you hear a song like Porch Light where it's like distorted guitars and the drums coming in hard. I just really like that balance and being able to show like all different sorts of sounds and songs that you guys can create. Originally, were you expecting it to come to a sound like this, or did you think that you were just going to do more acoustic songs or more of like the rock songs?
Well, originally I probably thought it would be more acoustic guitar piano based, but then you know, one thing about how we write, even back to the Watchmen, was that all those songs stand up on their own with the just one guitar and a voice. Yeah. So when we brought them in to Ryan and Dustin, we were set up in a rehearsal room, and they, you know, Ryan instantly started putting rock beats to some of these songs, and it just brought them to life, create, you know, a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. So we let them evolve naturally. Like certain songs I knew, I guess, would be, like, I knew Teenage Heart would be a full band rock song. I knew, you know, just, you know it when you're writing it. Porchlight 2, I think I knew would be a rocker. And then certain songs are obvious, like Love You Less is just, it's meant to be stripped down and vulnerable, yeah, and exposed, you know?
Mm-hmm. Of like the more acoustic songs, my favorite personally is Morning Song. I sort of just like the story it sort of tells and the musicality to it. I just think it's a beautiful song.
No, thank you. Yeah, I actually have a, when we play that live, I get teary on stage. It means a lot to me. It's obviously about my son, so who I couldn't love more. So yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah. So with playing, when you did like that live show as Serling Graves, did it feel really different for you to not be with, I guess, the guys from The Watchmen who you have always been with? Or did you sort of like being focusing on your like guitar stuff and then being with Danny and having those guys sort of back you up?
I probably, the only time I thought about it was when we did the couple of Watchmen songs that we threw into it. Like, it feels like, you know, it feels like a different band, 100%. It feels like its own entity. Mm-hmm. But then, yeah, when you do the Watchmen songs, that's when you dial in. And it's funny because these guys went and learned the songs from the album, and we, in a lot of ways, the Watchmen don't do those songs like the album really anymore. Right. And then, yeah, Pat, the guitarist, went and picked up all the overdubs, like the slide parts and different things from, say, Stereo. Mm. So, oh, I forgot I did that. And he's like, oh, this is really cool. How'd you get this? And so, I forgot I did that. You know, I don't listen to my albums, you know?
Right. So yeah, like,
It was fun though.
I think it was kind of like, it was definitely neat to hear you guys playing. Like, I noticed like you were sort of playing similarly to how the recordings of those songs sound. Like during All Uncovered, you had some cello in there. I just thought that was a little bit neat.
Yeah, the cellist was great, Taylan. And she played on the album and helped arrange the strings for Serling Graves. And then I think it was Dustin who goes, you know, there's cello on All Uncovered. Taylan can do that. And I go, yeah, you're right. She could. So, yeah, she was great.
Yeah, for sure. Now, with Sad Songs for Sale, I mean, do you hope, like, depending on the future COVID situation, do you hope to sort of play some more shows as, like, Serling Graves?
I want to, yeah. So we're hoping to get a, I definitely want to get a Winnipeg show in, and I think we're still looking at that. I don't know if Danny and I would, you know, do a full Canadian tour, but I'd like to go, and I would like to definitely get some more shows in and try to promote the album a bit more. And then, you know, whether it's full band or Danny and I doing the songs acoustically. But I would like to definitely get some more shows under our belt. But I really, really hope to get a Winnipeg show in.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Now, in terms, like, looking back at the recording process for this album, is there anything that you regret about the sounds, the songs on this album? Or are you generally really happy about how it sort of ended up?
I'm really happy. I know, like, it's exactly what I'd hoped for. Like, I've never been able to say that before. And it's, you know, that's just by nature of there not being, you know, a clock ticking in terms of your budget and how much longer you have the studio for. And right. Yes, in the whole industry's changed from when we did albums and your record company, you're paying $1,000 a day for your studio, right? And people can do albums on their own now. So,
yeah,
you know, I would have the benefit and the luxury of living with some mixes and actually saying, you know what, I got to change this guitar part. It's driving me nuts. And I'd go in and track it again and remix it. So there was just no reason to compromise. So that I'm very happy with how it all turned out.
Yeah. I think it's great. Like, I was personally shocked when I, parts of me weren't, but I was very surprised when, you guys first announced the project and released the first few demos onto Instagram. I didn't know that this project had come about and that you guys were sort of putting together this whole record. But I think in the end, it turned out super great. And I love the sound on it. I have it on vinyl. I've definitely been giving it many like close listens and definitely taking inspiration myself from there. And I just really love this new
thank
piece
you,
of work.
Thank you so much. I'm glad you feel that way.
Mm-hmm. Now, for you, I like to ask this one every episode because I feel like it's great for people listening to sort of pick up on. But do you have any advice for other musicians?
Oh, you know, it's if you're going to do it, you got to do it for because you have to do it. Yeah. Not because you think, hey, that might be cool. Like, it's got to be this burning desire to do it. You know, I have, and it's changed, and the ability to do it and the mechanisms in which to create a career have changed. Like, my oldest daughter's boyfriend, his name is Julian Daniel. He's a recording artist. He's doing really well.
Mm-hmm.
But how is he going to make a living? Like, it's like, you know, he's got like 1 million streams on one of his songs and he's made nothing. And he said, how did you make a living for 20 years being a musician or more? And I said, because we used to sell albums for 20, 25 bucks each.
Right.
You know, and get some money for it. So I would say, you know, don't. You know, obviously everyone has their influences, but find your own voice. Mm-hmm. Don't try to replicate what's popular at the time, because I think people will see through it. And be genuine, be sincere. Just be real about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't be formulaic.
Yeah, I appreciate that, because like me personally, like, I mean, I'm 13 years old. I'm not going on tour. I'm not doing any of that stuff. And also with the pandemic and stuff too. So with my music, I sort of, I guess, like record it the best that I can with like my own resources, release it for friends and whoever wants to check it out, and then sort of get feedback on that and like rework my music, because I'm not like I'm obviously not doing it for a living, or at least at the moment. So it's definitely interesting how like the whole industry has changed, because yeah, like you said about him getting like 1 million streams on one of his songs and like making nothing off of it. Yeah, like I don't know, I've released lots of music and definitely got I mean, I'm definitely not close to there, like close to 1 million streams, but I'm lucky if I get 1,000 streams, but I still have made like $40 total off all my music together. So
it's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's like point, well, you can Google it, but it's 0.0003 cents per stream.
Right.
That's insane. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just kind of had one more thought about it. It's hard, but you have to kind of shut out everybody else when you write. Like, I remember writing the first album, and we touched on it earlier, where I just wrote and I didn't even think about anybody actually listening to it. I just wrote it. And then after the first album, we had some good reviews. We had some really bad reviews.
Yeah.
Well, and meme reviews, like kind of like, and I was like thinking, fuck you, man. Like, I just like put my heart and soul out there. and you're kind of you're shitting all over it. So, but it probably had a subconscious impact on how I wrote, because like, oh, what if I say this? What are they going to say if I say this? Or. So I think for as long as you possibly can, just kind of write from your own heart and don't worry about what other people think.
Yeah, for sure. Well, the new album's great. I'm also happy to see that the Watchmen were able to play a few shows over the summer, and hopefully we can see you here in Winnipeg sooner than later. But thank you very much for coming on the podcast.
No, I'm sorry it took so long. I'm always the last. Everyone I talk to says, "Oh, so I've spoken to the other guys. Now I finally get to talk to you." But thank you for having me. No, it was a lot of fun chatting with you.
All right. Thank you so much to Joey for coming on the podcast. It was great to finish off the Watchmen and Serlin Graves set there. Thank you all so much for tuning in. I won't take so long to get to the next one like I did the last time. And yeah, thank you all for the continuous support and for tuning in back to these episodes. I'm your host, GMH, signing off.
Let's talk and rock. It's Talkin' Rock with GMH.